If you look at AI technology, we are going to be working with redundancy technology. As a business, you're going to have to embrace and accept that and use AI technology to do that. How do you do that? You train your people. You then say, okay, we're going to make mistakes. You learn from it. And by learning from it, hopefully you create a business which is fit for the coming years.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan Podcast. Here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. Huge thanks to Mike Shields from Ecom One for introducing us to this brilliant guest. Thanks, Mike, and hello to team at Ecom One. I know you guys quite often listen in. In this episode, we are catching up with someone from the gift industry. We don't often get into gifts, and we should get into gifts more often. So excited to be talking to him about personalization and gifts. But even more interestingly than that, he's going to be talking to us about how he structured his team to make the business more efficient and effective and profitable and happier. And he's also going to be lifting the lid on how they're using AI day to day. So proper practical advice on how a real life e-commerce brand is using AI in their day to day, as well as some slightly next level stuff he's doing that's going to be customer facing too. So make sure you listen to the end of the episode, because he's also shared some brilliant top tips, and you'll also get my take on this episode. Are you struggling to boost your Shopify store's visibility? Then you need the Yoast SEO plugin for Shopify. It simplifies SEO by managing the technical complexities so you can focus on growing your business while still standing out in those search results. And they've just made your workload even easier, because the new Yoast AI Generate feature is there to speed up the creation of those all-important meta descriptions and SEO titles. With just a click, it generates multiple AI-powered meta descriptions and title suggestions, quickly enhancing your store's visibility and search results. This is AI done right. You're in control, deciding what works best for your store. Save time and stay in control. What are you waiting for? Get your SEO sorted. Learn more at ecmp.info/Yoast-Shopify. That's ecmp.info/Yoast-Shopify. And now to introduce our special guest. Asghar Dungarwala is the founder of Gifts Online For You, the award-winning personalized gift retailer. They sell over 2,500 products via their WooCommerce website, marketplaces, and wholesale to both the B2C and B2B markets. Founded in 2012, they now do £750,000 in sales per year. Hello, Asghar.
Hi, Chloe. I look forward to being with you on your show. As I said to you, I'm a little bit nervous, but looking forward to being here.
Oh, don't be nervous. We're very friendly here. But it's lovely to have you being on the show. And my whole career began in the world of selling gifts online. That was kind of my e-commerce thing for a few years. So it's really cool to get to go back into gift land for a half hour with you. But how did you end up in e-commerce?
Long story, but I'll try and put it in a little bit of a thumbnail. So I had a brilliant career in the RAF. I was in there for 10 years, came out and landed in a manufacturing role and did my training at Cranfield University. Went into manufacturing and management, had a great position up in the Lake District in Windermere, where I ran a company. And then wholesaling and retailing was in my blood. So we started a wholesale business back in Lincolnshire, and we used to supply pubs and restaurants with wines and spirits. Saw a little gap in there where we could supply personalized wines to the restaurants with their own labeling. And we started doing that. And then when the internet came along, 2008 and just before that, there was a natural progression of taking the company into an online sphere.
And then how did that personalized wine bottles for restaurants, or on-brand wine bottles for restaurants, turn into a gift business with over 2,000 SKUs?
Yeah, as I said, we started off with just wine, spirits, champagne. That's our core business. That's what we do today. But I've always had an interest in manufacturing. I wish I'd been a marketeer and a manufacturer. But so we kept on trying new things. We'll try different ideas. So we then went from champagne to spirits to beers, anything with alcohol. Then naturally, we started selling the content it goes into, tankards, wine glasses, beer glasses, and so on. And we just kept on developing the product range. And then today, in that 2,500 product range, we do handmade watches. So we have all the components. We physically get the dial, we print it, we then assemble it, and then we ship it. So we do pocket watches, wrist watches, all handmade in our workshops in Spalding. So a very diverse product range.
Very diverse product range, but all with that commonality of being personalized for the customer.
Yeah, so the customer today, with the technology that's about today, they can upload an image, put text on it. We've got multiple machines for engraving, printing, and then we do that. But everything we do is personalized.
Personalization comes with many challenges, as I've been involved with at various points over my career. Two of which are, or I guess the biggest one rather, is customers giving you the wrong stuff in the first place, leading to the wrong product being created. And then the technology is the other one, but let's try not to go too far down that rabbit hole yet. But the whole piece of, you know, the customer spelling the name wrong or uploading the wrong image and then that ending up on the product. Do you do a customer sign-off before you create the physical product, or do you just have to suck it up?
We're very fortunate. We get very few problems like that for two reasons. One, on a lot of our products, you can see the customization. So if you've written something incorrectly, you'll see it. That's number one. Number two, you also get a confirmation of exactly what you've put down. So the customer sees, and occasionally, you know, my spelling's terrible. When I get a confirmation, I would, if I'm lucky, I'll read it. If I pick it up, they'll email us and then we will change it. So we get very, very few problems where the customers put incorrect information. Occasionally it happens and they say, you know, if it's an engraved watch, can you change it? And once something's engraved, absolutely physically impossible. You can't do it. I hardly ever get any problems. And from day one, we don't get any problems like that.
Because the technology is good enough, customers usually notice it.
Yeah, as I said, for us is one, you can see the personalization, and where you can't see it, and all of it, you get an email notification with exactly what you've written down, and the customer gets an opportunity of then replying back to it if they want to, saying everything's fine or not. But that's not a required, otherwise we're waiting forever.
Yeah, you'd be endlessly chasing people. Can you sign off the spelling of Steve, please, or something? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Or even Chloe in your case.
Well, yeah, there's plenty of ways to misspell mine. Oh, we'd be here for the rest of the half hour if I started listing them. So tell us a bit more about the business. You're based in Spalding in the UK. Do you just service the UK or do you sell wider?
You know, pre-Brexit, and you know, you either love it or hate it, depends which camp you're in, we could sell all over Europe. And there was no problem. Hassle-free, we can get stuff coming in from Europe. And for us, it's been problematic. So now we try not to sell into Europe. We had some really bad examples where we lost money. You send it out, then the customer has to pay duty on it. And we were trying to sell champagne back to France, and they didn't want it back. They didn't want it back. So it came back to us and caused a lot. So we now sell predominantly in the UK. We've got a great marketplace. We understand the market, and we generally tend to stick to it. So UK is where we are. We've got a team of five in manufacturing, but then we have lots of teams working overseas. We've got teams in India. We've got teams in China, and we've got teams in the UK as well, which do our PR and all the technical stuff, SEO. That's all done in India.
Really? So you've got the kind of the web team and the SEO team are very much off outsourced.
Yeah, different companies are doing a great job. People in the UK do a great job, but it's a cost factor. And what we found that we get a lot for our money with the people overseas, and they are very, very good. You know, we've used lots and lots of agencies, and I'm not going to slag anybody off on your show, but I could tell you horror stories. And what we found with the teams in India, that they're very, very good. But it's developing the relationship. And unless you develop the relationship, it doesn't work. You know, you do get some rubbish. But then again, we've got teams in China for our sourcing of a lot of our products. it's all about relationships. And if you develop great relationships, it works amazingly well. And they do a lot for you because it's not a one-off transaction. They're looking at the partnerships, and I'm really into partnerships, and that works really, really well.
So number one tip for working with teams in other countries is build the relationship so they feel like they're part of your team.
Totally. And the cultures are different. You know, the cultures are totally different. For example, if you go to India, the last thing they want to talk about is your business. They want to talk about your family, friends, who you go out with, what do you eat? And then your contract, whatever you're doing, is done over a dinner table. And basically, your word is my bond. I mean, that's how it works. If you understand that mentality, and it is a manana, you know, it's not Western mentality, although they're very good, it's part of the culture. And you have to understand that. And if you understand that, it works. So China's a little bit different, very formal. Systems have to be spot on, otherwise they will not go into the gray.
And what does your in-house team look like? I know right now they're all being very, very quiet, so we can do this podcast recording.
Well, luckily, they've all gone home, so luckily we're getting an early afternoon. But so we've got three people in manufacturing that make stuff, and one of them is a supervisor, so he works in the office with me as well. I'm the guy who does the product development and then all the admin stuff in running the business. My daughter's on maternity leave, who's coming back shortly. She's the marketing director, marketing person, so she deals with that. And she's given me two lovely grandkids, and one daughter's got another grandkid. So my life revolves now, my grandkids mainly. Joking aside, that's the team, five of us doing those different roles.
So kind of the senior team and the manufacturing in-house, and then everything else outsourced to expert agencies would be a...
Absolutely, absolutely. And that works really, really well for us.
Any intention of ever changing it? Or for you, is that the right model?
I've been there. I've been where you've had everything in-house. You know, at one time, we had a 1.7 million turnover only 2 years ago. And what we found, we became highly inefficient. We employed too many people, got so many different problems. One of the jobs, my first jobs in the morning, was to look at the phone, who's not coming in.
Oh.
And then in putting, I don't know whether I can say this on your podcast, okay, but then you end up doing all the crap jobs that nobody else wants to do. Can I say that, Chloe?
I think that word is allowed by Apple, so I think we're okay.
Okay, yeah. So you end up doing all the crap jobs and then not end up what you're doing. So we said, we're not doing that. So we scaled back by over £1 million and brought it back to the business. And we're so happy with it. And we are being now driven by technology, especially artificial intelligence, to get a lot more for our business. And we are really AI driven because I've got a real passion in AI and technology.
I want to get into the AI bit very, very shortly. But what I think is really fascinating is it's becoming an increasing theme of 2024 is e-commerce teams being charged of doing more with less and having to become more efficient and thinking more about the bottom line than just growth at any cost. And it sounds like you're kind of like 18 months ahead of the pack on that journey, I would say.
We are. And I think when you're growing, you don't look at the numbers because the money keeps coming in. What we found, we just became highly inefficient. The basic things that I learned in manufacturing, looking at your bottlenecks, looking at your quality, all of that just disappeared because, you know, growth. And then you sit back and you look at your bottom line and think, Jesus, is that what I've achieved for doing so much work? And what we found is that by cutting back and really focusing on productivity, we are doing a huge amount more. I mean, we went up to a team of 16 plus the overseas teams. And we said, I just made a decision. We're not doing that. We're just going to cut it back. We have got growth plans and they'll be delivered, but not in the way we did it.
And that cutting back, if you don't mind me asking, if you do say, has that been turning off product lines or has it been turning off routes to market or turning off marketing methods? How did you cut it back?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I mean, what we did, I think we had about 4,000 to 5,000 products. So we just culled them. We just said, we're not doing them. We just got rid of loads and loads of products. And we focus on the products which are highly profitable. And for example, our watches, really great margins, our alcohol gifts, semi-medium. And then other products, which the whole e-commerce world does in our industry, tankers, wine glasses, we just hardly do them now. They're there. So if somebody comes on our website and looking for gifts for the groom, for the bride, and they want some champagne, we get that. But ours is, you know, watches, handmade, quality heirlooms, that's what we're focusing on.
The pieces where there's not as much competition and where the margin really stacks up for you.
Yeah, and I think when you get that piece of jewellery, I think they, a lot of them become very much keepsake. It becomes generational. So one of the products we have on our website is we do family crest stuff. So we would have a family crest, or we've got a database over 1 million. So let's say there's definitely no one for Dungarwal, I guarantee it. There's not one for Dungarwal. But let's say Smith, right? We would take the family crest with the name Smith on it, and we can convert it into, you know, lots and lots of products where there happens to be a watch, tankard, and that becomes an heirloom. You can then pass it on. So a lot of our products are something you're going to keep rather than just as a one-off.
Got you. And then I want to get into that, the AI piece, because I think the other place where you're ahead of the pack is that you've kind of been diving into AI early on to use it to make the business more efficient and more productive. And I feel like again, most of the industry is kind of going, okay, right, now we'll actually do a bit more than just ask ChatGPT some questions. So if someone's listening and, yeah, I know I should be doing more with AI, we'll get into some of the examples of what you've done, but where should they start? How do you go about making it really useful, not just doing it?
So again, an interesting question. So we were looking at large language models probably about 10 years ago, but I'm no... at Microsoft, I didn't have the budget. You know, I'm not ChatGPT, I don't have the budget. So we have to be realistic in what we can do, but the technology was always of interest. So when ChatGPT developed an interface, and they've been around for a long time, about October 23, they launched it. So that's fantastic. And we started embracing it, ChatGPT 3.5, from literally day one. And the kind of things we were doing with it, we were experimenting. So you could do, you know, write me a product description, write me a blog post, do this, do that. You could do all of those kind of things, which was great. But the quality wasn't that brilliant. It was quite poor. And then, you know, ChatGPT, the models came along, and now they're on ChatGPT 4.0. Omni, I think it stands for, but no, it's not just that. There's other ones that we use. I use three personally. I use Perplexity, I use Gemini, and I use ChatGPT 4.0. All of them give slightly different results. So, for example, if I went in there, can you write me a product description for this particular pen? It will give me three different viewpoints. And you can say, can you be an expert with an SEO? Can you do this? Can you prompt it in different ways? It will give you lots and lots of information, which is great. And then we use that and we rewrite it and use it ourselves. But the quality has improved in the last 20 months immensely. It's very, very good. Where I use it a lot is for brainstorming. We've got a team of 5 in the UK. Now, if you imagine, our ideas become very similar. So so one of the things we invested in was in training for all of our staff. And all of us understand they use AI as an assistant. And I'll talk about the different things we use it for. So for me personally, brainstorming, keep it. Can you give me 10 ideas on creating a watch for a birthday? And it will give me 10 different ideas. I can then take that and we can then brainstorm. Our team will come up with their ideas. We sit there and we've got hundreds of ideas. Whereas before, you put it down on the board, you get 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. Now we can, well, that's not working. That's not. And then we can explore those ideas even further with those tools. And that's where it really helps me with brainstorming. The normal stuff. Now today, I mean, if you take ChatGPT-4, you can program it with your own company details or your own information. So as soon as you put, he knows who you are. So if you ask it, who am I? He will tell you, it gives a line for you to enough, exactly the introduction you've done. We have also put it in there, who's our target customer? ABC1. It's already got that. So you've already primed it before you get anywhere near that. So those are the basic things we use it for. But then we've gone beyond that now.
Just before we go beyond that, Asghar, I just want to check a couple of things with you. So you said using ChatGPT, which I think we all know, Gemini, which is the Google version, and whose version is Perplexity? I've not heard of that one before.
Do you know, I do know the answer for that. And if I say anything, I'd be guessing. I don't know. But I think the people who've put money into it at one stage are people like Amazon. But don't quote me on it. There are some big players who have come onto it. But Perplexity is a great, it's a bit like a search engine. And I use it all the time for doing the things I need to do. And what it does, it's like a real-time search engine. And if you go for the paid version, so you can either use ChatGPT 4. I don't know whether Gemini is on there, but the latest one that's been launched by Meta, forgive me, I can't remember, it's 3.1, whatever Meta's just launched now. You can get access to all of those engines.
Oh,
and so when you do a search, and if you do the... So you get about 5 or 6 pro searches every 4 hours, and it will go in and it'll do an in-depth investigation. It'll look at past papers, it will look at literature, and it will come up with an answer based on the latest information that's on the web, but other academic features, which I'm sure the other ones do it, but you can see it being done in real time. Now, if you go for the paid version, I think it's 600 searches a day. Don't quote me. It's a stupid amount.
Yeah.
I'm actually still on the non-paid version because I've got paid versions on ChatGPT and on Gemini. But that engine is unbelievable. If you haven't tried it, go and try Perplexity. I've got no shares in it, but just spend a few minutes on it. It's such a simple engine to use as well. Worth trying.
And then you mentioned you've invested in team training on AI. What does that look like? Because I know, I think a lot of people get kind of training on AI? Aren't you just asking questions? So what sort of training have you put the team through?
As a team, what we do, we sit there and we say, okay, right, let's go. I'll go show you what I've learned about ChatGPT. These are the kind of questions. This is how you do the prompting. The prompting is the most bit that people have to learn. So the guy who's a designer now, once I showed him all of that, he now does a lot of his design work on ChatGPT, and he actually does a lot of the design work using DALL-E on ChatGPT. And we sat down and we went through all the different modules, how do they work? So he now creates his own GPTs for him to then be prompted in terms of what he's doing. So that's one guy. The guy who writes the descriptions for the products, he will then use it to write, help him write descriptions with his own GPT. He will then use Perplexity to see if it makes sense. Perplexity will give him a bit more knowledge. And we will then feed it through Gemini, and we'll use all those three blocks to come up with a real great content where the customer will be happy reading. We're doing it for business, but if you give the customer what they want, then hopefully they will stay with you and stick with you with whatever you've produced. So our tools are designed with our customers in mind and making our life easy.
Got you. So it's not, you didn't send them on a 3-day course somewhere. It's more been a case of creating a forum where everyone can discuss what they're learning and how they're learning.
Yeah, because the technology is so new, there may be training out there, but we've not seen any great training. I mean, we have spent the last 20 months, 18 months learning, and we, every sort of week, we'll sit there, what's new? How are we doing things? How are we doing things differently? And these tools will then, you can ask a question, what's new on ChatGPT? And it'll tell you what's new on it. And you can then say, well, how do we do that?
And then, Asghar, you mentioned that you've gone a bit beyond that as well, haven't you, now with AI? So could you tell us one or two of the ways in which you've taken it next level, please?
Yeah, so we originally started writing product descriptions, as I've already said. Then we've started saying, okay, well, what else can we do with it? So we now use it for making all our videos. So we use Pictree. We use 2 or 3 of the systems we use at the moment. Pictree is one of them, CapCut. And we use those type of tools to do our videoing. And we've created hundreds of videos that you can go onto our YouTube channel and have a look at them, hundreds of, using that technology. Now, the beauty of that is, we don't need to be expert at any of those. The AI is the expert. We just use those particular tools. We just got to know how to use them. So that's one of them. Most of us make lots of errors when we're talking. So if you put the text in, there are tools out there which will actually read for you. So how have we used that today? So we've just put a tool onto our website where you, as a customer, you can come on with some inputs. So for example, let's say you're buying a gift for me. And as you know, I'm already RAF airplane. So you can go in there, Asghar's interest, airplanes. You can then say, what's his other interest or passion? Food. It will then create an image for you in real time, which you can then take that image and put in one of our products. But when you've designed that particular, or when you've thought about me, you've thought about the person you're buying it for, and you've put whatever they would want rather than whatever you want. So when he sees that, so for example, I was born in 1962, and you know, here's, I'll move the greeting card. It's a greeting card designed on our system. So it tells you what's the number one song. It will tell you what happened in that particular decade. And so that's the information that the AI will put onto the card, and we will just hopefully print it. So it's taken a lot of the legwork away from me. And that's a live tool that we use on the website. The latest project we're doing is one about Bo Bear. Bo Bear is a fictitious baby bear in which we're hoping a child can relate to that particular character. So we've just created a video about 10 days ago, which we've used Leonardo for creating the images. We use Sumo for creating the songs. We use Luma for the animation. And we use CapCut for putting it all together. So we use four different tools, and we use Photoshop for a little bit of Photoshop that we need to do. So those are the tools that we create the particular video for Bo Bear. Now, when we put that video onto the Bo Bear channel, can you guess kind of views we were getting on it? Only went on last week.
I don't know, maybe a few hundred?
6,500 this morning. Yeah, that's what we got. We put one up last night, 2,000 views on it. That was this morning. So I don't know where he is today. But we are not experts in video creation. We did all of that because what we want to do is we want to create Bo Bear into a Peppa Pig. That's the intention. So we want to create books using AI where you can put your own child in it. We've already created superhero characters on our website where you can create a puzzle using Lego bricks. We can upload an image and we will convert into a superhero, which is a great product. But anyway, you can have books with Bo Bear. You can have videos. There's lots and lots of tools that we're going to be creating. Most of them are going to be free that people can just, the books they can take. So that's how we're using AI. And I can spend another 2 hours talking about AI and how we use it.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
Are you struggling to boost your Shopify store's visibility? Then you need the Yoast SEO plugin for Shopify. It simplifies SEO by managing the technical complexity so you can focus on growing your business while still standing out in those search results. And they've just made your workload even easier because the new Yoast AI Generate feature is there to speed up the creation of those all-important meta descriptions and SEO titles. With just a click, it generates multiple AI-powered meta descriptions and title suggestions, quickly enhancing your store's visibility and search results. This is AI done right. You're in control deciding what works best for your store. Save time and stay in control. What are you waiting for? Get your SEO sorted. Learn more at ecmp.info/Yoast-Shopify. That's ecmp.info/Yoast-Shopify.
It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. So, Asghar, are you ready for the top tips?
Yes.
Okay, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
Well, as I said, I'm ex-RAF. So one of the books that's written, but he's got an author called Roland White. He wrote a book called Vulcan 607. 607 is a tailplane name of that particular aircraft. And in 1982, when we had the Falklands War, we did a mission from Ascension Islands all the way down to the Falklands to take out some assets and then come back. It was an 8,000-mile mission, 16 hours of flying, using the Victor tankers to refuel in midair. And I probably worked on most of those Victor tankers as well at some stage in my life. Now, the reason why this book relates to what's happening in the world today, the aircraft was going out of commission and literally had a few months to go before all the aircraft were decommissioned. When the Falklands started, they said, what can we do? So we had to do air-to-air refueling systems on the aircraft, which were disabled. We had to put that in. The pilots had to be retrained on using those particular systems. And they did a mission that had never been done before. To put it into context, it was a similar kind of mission that we did with the dam busters in the 1940s. That's the level it's at. Now, that's the complexity of it. Why I think that book's really good today for today, because if you look at AI technology, we are going to be working with redundancy technology. As a business, you're going to have to embrace and accept that and use AI technology to do that. How do you do that? You train your people. You then say, okay, we're going to make mistakes. You learn from it. And by learning from it, hopefully you create a business which is, 21st century, 27th, whatever century you're in now, that's where you're going to be fit for the coming years.
I love that, the way you've explained that. And that was the amazing mission where the BBC reporter said, I counted them out and I counted them back in again, because that was all he was allowed
quite.
To say.
That's not an aircraft carrier. That's not an aircraft carrier. That was on an aircraft. This is, we basically had, depends on what you're going to talk about, is we had two Vulcans on Ascension Islands. Well, there were actually three. the captain who was meant to go to Ascension, he had a problem with the aircraft, so he came back. We had originally 15 Victor tankers who were going to support these particular planes to get there, but two of them fell down, so we're now down to 13 to get one Vulcan all the way to take out the runway at Stanley using 1950s technology in radio silence, and then you have to create an air bridge for that Victors to be in a particular place at the right time in order for the aircraft to get back. There are lots and lots of things within the book which you think, really, did that what happen? Go and read it. It's a great read. It's very well written by Roland White. Again, I think it makes sense on what we did. And do you know what? As I'm patriotic, ex-RAF, and the thing, it was, we can make it happen. Mm-hmm. That was it. You know, the British thing is, let's have a go.
Yeah.
And we make things happen. We may not have all the tools, but you look at history, we make things happen.
Okay. Before I take us off even deeper into that one, the traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
Do you know, SEO gets top, social media gets top, content marketing doesn't get enough publicity. But if you don't have content marketing, if you create the right content that appeals to your customer, and the customer that you recognize, they will love that content. They will keep coming back to you for that content over and over and over again. But it has to be the right content. So content marketing, I would say.
Oh, yeah, so underpraised. Tool top tip, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
Well, I bet you can't guess what I'm going to be saying. AI. AI, artificial intelligence, where there happens to be ChatGPT, you just pick any one of them. And you're going to learn so much from these tools. And those tools are really going to help your business. And they'll become your assistant. You think, how did we manage without those? There are lots of other tools. But for me today, any AI tool that you feel comfortable with.
Love it. And the carbon top tip. What's your favorite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store?
That's, again, great question, I think, in today's economy. We've got solar panels within our workshop. Generates 10 kilowatt per hour on a good sunny day. One of the things we're working on today, hopefully, we're going to measure when we use the electricity, and then we're going to try and plug into the national grid. So then you will see when green energy is being produced. So you can then say, okay, right, you can change your work plan. So when you're using, instead of using a machinery, you can go and do packing. So when the green energy comes back on, you can then go back and say, let's use our machinery to make stuff. So it's about refocusing the mind. So when you get the heavy period where it's not green energy, you can do packing or do something else. And then when it's green energy, come back where you can. Or when our panels are producing 10 kilowatt per hours, then we're going back on the machinery.
Got you. So lunchtime, when the sun's at its highest, we're manufacturing, and 9 o'clock in the morning, we're picking and packing. Theoretically.
It could be, or we're having a tea break.
But not boiling the kettle.
That's true.
Asger, thank you so much. Before we say goodbye, could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business on the web and social media?
Yeah, it's very, very straightforward. Giftsonlineforyou.com. That's where we are. And if you forget, think of gifts. Who is it for? For you. Giftsonlineforyou.com.
Excellent. And that's a number 4 and a letter U every day.
Yes. Thank you for that, Chloe. Yes. Thank you. It is a number 4 and the letter U.
Giftsonline4letteru.com. Asger, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been fascinating chatting with you. And thanks for being willing to share so much of your experience with us.
Perfect. I've enjoyed it. Do you know what? Some of the nervousness disappeared as we were talking.
Fascinating to catch up with Asger there. Love those simple but hugely effective ways they're bringing AI to play, and complicated ways they're bringing AI to play in the business. And he is definitely ahead of most of us with that. And also in terms of how they've made that shift to making the business a happier and more profitable place. Turnover is not everything, everybody. You can get your hands on the notes from this episode, including those top tips and links to what we mentioned, by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com or use our direct episode short links. Just put ecmp.info/the number of this episode into the URL bar, and you'll be redirected straight to the right episode page on the website. When you get to the website, make sure you add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business, like our e-commerce explored webinar series, which this week, this very week, if you're listening to this as soon as it goes live, we have an episode all about team efficiency, which includes a bit of AI. So, complete accident, this episode's going out the same week as the webinar, but you could always go and come along to the webinar too. You'll find that at webinar.ecommerceexplored.com. If you liked this episode, then why not check out some of our other episodes about WooCommerce with WooCommerce people, which you will find at ecmp.info/WooCommerce. Thank you for tuning in to this and every episode that you do of the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I bring you a new inspiring interview every week because I want to inspire and help e-commerce business owners and marketers like you to succeed and thrive with your businesses, including progressing along the path to net zero. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I hope you have a great week and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.
Get your SEO sorted with the Yoast SEO plugin for Shopify. Learn more at ecmp.info/Yoast-Shopify. That's ecmp.info/YOAST-Shopify.